understanding. Ah, what a wonderful gift that is. As you know, as we're going through the study of the Revelation several weeks ago, the Lord, as we're going through that study, we came across a spot where it spoke about the seven spirits of God, and which brought me to a conundrum. How you like that for a big word? Brought me to a spot where I had to dig a little deeper. Amen. And so I said, well, Revelation, Jesus said there's seven spirits of God. There must be something to that. So I started digging. I like it when you dig into the Word of God. Because the deeper you dig, the more there is to dig. Amen. And in this, I came across Isaiah chapter 11, and it explains six of those attributes, spirits, understanding of who God is. And just to let you know, God wants you to know Him in the fullest, deepest, most passionate way you can ever imagine. He wants you to know Him more than you want to know Him, in fact, because He gave us this little book right here. In this book is the truth of God, it's the truth of life. You know, if we look around in this world, we don't find much truth anymore, but if you look in this Word, you will find truth. You'll find depth. You'll find meaning for your life. You'll find love, understanding. Understanding is what we're going to talk about today. A few weeks ago, we started this, and we talked starting out. Before we can get into any of this, you must understand, you must fear God. To understand who He is, His awesomeness, His glory. And anybody who was ever in the presence of God fell down as they were dead men, except those who were around Christ, because He veiled His glory for a time. And as you learn the fear of God, wisdom starts to boil up in you. You get a little bit smarter. You start learning how to deal with things in different ways. When you really fear the Lord, you start looking at the world through a different lens. Start looking at it from the holy aspect and not just from the earthly view. And the more wisdom you get, the knowledge starts pouring in. God starts pouring into you the deeper things of God. And as you adjust your life to the knowledge of the Most High God, He starts illuminating your understanding. Oh, the illumination of the understanding of God. What a concept. Amen. So it's not just knowing more about Scripture. It's not knowing more about knowledge. It's not knowing more about wisdom. It's not knowing more about the fear of God. It's having an understanding of what all of those things are in the view of God. I can't wait to get into this. We're going to start teaching here in just a minute. But before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love You and we praise You. Lord, I thank You for this moment that we have here, for this time that we're going to look into Your Word. Father, I pray that as I speak, I decrease with every word. Oh, less of me and more of You, Father. Help that be true from this pulpit, regardless of who stands behind it. Lord, allow us to be vessels that hold the knowledge, that hold the wisdom, that reverence the fear of God. Lord, then allow us to have the understanding to distribute all those things to the lost and dying world. Folks who are thirsty, allow us to pour Your Word into them, Your love, Your compassion. Father, those who are dry, allow us to sprinkle the righteous understanding of the Most High God in them. Father, we thank You and we praise You for that. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to the church, and that the church would hear what He has to say to us this day. We thank You for those things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Oh, the gift of the Spirit of understanding. To me, personally, this gift is the greatest of all the gifts of the attributes of God. See, it's more than just knowing about God. It's really knowing the depths of God. And as you understand things, real physical world kind of thing that goes along with that. I, several things are running through my mind. It's not that I don't have anything to say. I'm trying to pick out the one that works best. To understand something is different than just knowing about something. I know about how a car works, right? I know you put gas in it, you turn the key, and it goes. I know if you keep oil in it, you keep air pressure right in your tires, and you do the maintenance, it goes for a long time. But to understand how all of those intricate little moving things on the inside, that takes a little bit more, right? Understanding what God has to say to you takes a little bit more. It takes a little bit more digging. It takes a little bit of time simmering, as it were, into the Word of God. It's more than just knowing about it. It's more than just rushing through the Word of God and studying it. It's sitting underneath at the feet of Jesus and allowing Him to illuminate your understanding in a way that's pertinent to your life. I used two big words this morning. Pertinent. Thank you, Lord. Can't spell it, but I think I pronounced it right. The first example that we have in this is where Jesus, He had been crucified and He had raised on the third day, and there were a couple of His disciples that were heading on the road to Emmaus, and this is in Luke chapter 24. And for those of you who don't know, I'll give you a brief background, and then we'll get to the meat of it. So these two folks had been there, and they were heading to Emmaus. And as they were heading to the Emmaus, they were discussing the things that happened, and all of a sudden, this stranger kind of popped up in their view. He started walking with them. He started talking to them. And they said, what, you haven't been around? Haven't you heard the things that had just happened in Jerusalem? How Christ, our Messiah, our say He died. And some of the ladies said that He even rose again. And then Jesus started teaching. Praise God. His disciples were leaving Jerusalem, but Jesus started teaching. And He began at Moses. And this is verse 27 of chapter 24 of Luke. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expound unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning Himself. What a Bible teaching that must have been. Oh, could you imagine that? Because you're heartbroken, you're ripped apart on the inside. All of these emotions were happening. And these guys were saying, man, He was supposed to be the Messiah, but I saw Him die on a cross. Yeah, people say that He raised from the dead, but I don't know. I don't know about that too much. And as these two friends, like Joshua and I, we walk and we talk sometimes. Me and Lauren, we walk and we talk sometimes. And then all of a sudden, an illumination happens. You see things that you never saw before. What a great gift that is, that awakening. Further on in verse 30 of the same chapter, and it came to pass as He sat and meat with them, He took bread and He blessed it and He brake it and gave to them, and their eyes were opened. That's the key, verse 31. Their eyes were opened. Do you think that they had their eyes shut the whole time? No, because if you had, you'd have walked into a tree or run into a ditch. So their eyes were open the whole time, right? You can't eat with your eyes shut. You know, you can't think with your eyes shut. What this means is that their mind was open. They started to understand the things. And it says, and they knew Him. What a great thing that Jesus wants to do to you. He wants to teach you His Word, the living Word of God. He wants to teach you this about Moses, through the law, through the prophets. He wants you to know this, but then He wants you to sit down and sop with Him. And then He wants to open up your understanding to the things of who He is. We'll get into that here in just a moment. Oh, this gift of understanding was not the teaching that Jesus did. It wasn't Him talking about Moses. It wasn't Him talking about the prophets. It wasn't Him saying those things about Himself throughout the whole of Scripture. The understanding came not just through knowledge and wisdom, but the gift was knowing Jesus. when they knew him, their eyes were open and they knew him. He was disguised, even through all that teaching, through all that stuff. And later the disciples say, did our hearts not burn within our chest when he spoke with us in the way? But that, even the burning of the heart, even all of the learning and the moving of the Spirit in your personal life, until you know him, until you get into the depths of who he is more than just an emotional thing, because they were having an emotional thing. I'm sure that when they were walking, they were saying, amen, amen, yes, Moses, I see Moses. I see where David was talking in the Psalms. Amen, I see that. Oh, yes, I see where Jesus was in all of those things. Oh, thank you, whoever you are walking with me. Come and eat. And as he broke the bread and blessed, then the veil was removed. Their understanding, their eyes were opened. The understanding became deeper than what it was before. A lot of us, we get puffed up in our mind because we know a lot of stuff. You know, you can know a lot of stuff and still have no understanding.
Right.
Amen. You can be all in your mind. Oh, I know this. I know that. I memorized 75 passages in the Bible this week. What do you do?
Nanny, nanny, boo, boo.
You get in that mindset that you are something. Come to this mindset first, that you are nothing. Unless God illuminates to you the deeper thing. Not deeper than the Bible, but brings you along and allows you to see the depth of who he is. Maybe, and please, and I've said this before, you'll never know the full depth of God. Even if you've been in heaven for 1,000 years with him, you will not be scratching the surface. He is much deeper than what we can imagine. He knows way more than we'll ever be able to comprehend. But there is an unveiling that happens as you walk with him. As we start to understand understanding, right? Getting this in your mind. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 12 through 14. Say amen when you get there, because I don't want to take off without you. Isn't that nice when the pilot tells you to buckle up? I don't want to start flying without you guys being buckled in. You there? Amen. Proverbs 8, 12 through 14. Wisdom dwelleth with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogance, the evil way, and the forward mouth I do hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. Did you see what he said there? Understanding is not just an illumination. It's a personage. It's the personage of the knowledge of God. I am understanding. And as he unveils that, and then he also puts with it, I have strength. Well, praise God. You know, because I have no strength outside of Christ. He says, I am understanding. So this wisdom dwells with prudence, and that lets us know that they're together, they're united, they're in the same category. And it is joined there by knowledge. And then he defines what the fear of the Lord is, because so many people, especially in our time, because we've been taught that we should not fear the Lord, let me tell you folks, we need to fear God. All right, and we need to understand what fear is. And he says, in that I hate evil, I'm going to add I hate in front of these. He says, I hate evil, I hate pride, I hate arrogance, I hate the evil way, I hate the forward mouth. Now, think about this. I hate these things. God's saying, I hate these things. Now, in your life, personally, do you hate those things? I mean, you hate it when a politician tells you a lie. You hate it when a teacher tells you a lie, that kind of stuff. And that's great on the exterior, but let's roll that into the interior. How about yourself? How about you? The evil way that dwells in you, do you hate that? The arrogance that's in your heart, do you hate that? Do you hate it enough to kill it?
Do you hate it enough to bring it to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and kill it at the altar? You know, all of the Old Testament sacrifices, you brought your sacrifice, and it would be a lamb or a goat or an ox or whatever, you'd bring it there, and they tied it to the horns of the altar. You know what they had to do there? Go ahead, say it out loud.
Kill it.
You had to kill it. You couldn't bring your sacrifice, you couldn't bring your sin offering before the Lord and take it home with you. Church, who told you you could do that now? Amen. Has God changed? No. Praise God, the blood of goats and bulls was never enough to cleanse me from the sin that I have dwelling within me. But praise God, I have a Savior that His blood was good enough. And since His blood is good enough to cover me and keep me the way that I need to be, I need to make a daily confession of the arrogancy that lives on the inside of me. The pride that lives on the inside of me. When I think I know something, a forward mouth. Do you know what a forward mouth means? It's a nasty thing that dwells in you. Talk, not just speaking ugly things, but speaking ugly things. Perverted, yes. It's just off course jesting. All right? And it even tells us in the New Testament that we're not supposed to partake in coarse jesting. That's a forward mouth. Speaking too highly of yourself is a forward mouth. God says, I hate those things. Do you hate those things? Do you hate the arrogancy and the pride that lives within you? Getting rid of those things. Flip over to Job, real quick. I need a new Job. No, the old Job is fine. Job chapter 28. And thinking on this subject, that this understanding is from God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding and knowledge, and holy, and of a holy understanding. Holy is understanding. And so, as we get into this, Job 28, say amen when you get there. Amen. We'll pick up in verse 12. Job 28:12. But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Oh, the place. Do you know that their understanding has a geographical place? That you can get to the place of understanding? It's a spiritual concept, but it's a physical reality. Remember when Jesus opened the eyes of the disciples? What place were they in? Not geographically sitting at the table, but who were they with at the table? They were with Jesus Christ. Remember he said in the proverb there that he is understanding. I am understanding. So anyhow, where's the place of understanding? Verse 13. Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth saith, it is not in me, and the sea saith, it is not with me. It cannot be gotten of gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. Now he's all talking about wisdom and understanding, okay? Verse 16, it cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir or the precious onyx and four sapphires. The gold and the crystal cannot be equal, and the exchange of it shall be for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral and pearls, and the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not be equal to it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence cometh wisdom, and where is the place of understanding? So here Job, or the fellow who's talking to Job, is laying these things out, that wisdom and understanding, where is the place, where can you find it? Seeing, verse 21, seeing that it is hid from the eyes of the living and is kept closed from the fowls of the air. Destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. For he looketh to the ends of the earth, and he seeth under the whole of heaven. I'm sorry, I put of there. Under the whole heaven. To make the weight of the winds, he weighed the waters by measure. And when he made a decree of rain, and went the way of lightning and of the thunder, then he did see it, and declared, and he prepared it, yea, stretched it out, excuse me. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. So look at what he's saying. He brought it real down to the real physical stuff, wisdom and understanding. You can't buy it with anything in this world. You can't pay your college professor enough to get you wisdom. And you sure can't pay him nothing to get you understanding. To get real wisdom, it tells us right there in verse 28 what he's talking about. To get the true wisdom of God is to fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. All right? So what's wisdom? Okay, y'all want to be wise?
Yes.
What do you need to do?
Fear
the Lord. All right? All right. So there's a cause and effect here, right? You want to have a little understanding? What do you need to do? Why do you think God won't... Why do you believe that understanding doesn't come to you until you depart from evil?
Can I comment?
Yes, you can!
Okay. The fleshly desires and the spirit are completely separate.
Yes.
So if you're following the flesh, then you are not going to understand the spirit.
Amen. Can you tie scripture with that? I'll give you a clue. Galatians.
Plenty of scripture.
Galatians chapter 5, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The lusts of the flesh are evident, and it goes through 15 things, right? And so we're not going to worry about that, but what it's telling us, if we really want to have understanding, we need to be walking with God, we need to be studying His Word, and we need to be living a life with less sin in it. We need to be fighting the evil that's within us. We need to be fighting the arrogance within us. We need to be fighting the pride that is within us. We need to be fighting our flesh. Because remember, we don't war against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities in the heavenly realms, right? So my real fight is within me, the sin nature I was born with. My real fight isn't against the government. My real fight isn't against any human being on the face of the earth, regardless of what pigment in your skin that lives really matter. Okay? None of that is of any consequence to God. You know what He wants? He wants a holy people, a people that is set apart, that are looking for the real understanding that only comes from a tight relationship with God. You need to be walking with Him. He needs to be teaching you from Moses through all the prophets. Amen. Yes, why we need the Old Testament. I don't care what the New Testament teachers of our day say. Because there is a teaching that goes out there right now that you don't need the Old Testament, the Old Testament words. Yes, you do. You do so. You need the books of Moses. You need Leviticus. And if you think it's dry, then I tell you to get a glass of water while you're reading it. It is rich. It is deep. It is profitable. And it will change your life. Deuteronomy. Amen? Right? What will Deuter do to you? It'll work some stuff out of you. You need those books. You need that understanding. Because God's in that as much as He is in the New Testament.
Amen.
That understanding about the New Testament doesn't come to you unless you study the Old first. You need to sit underneath that teaching, gleaning from it, applying it to your life in a real personal way. Because until you get to the point where you are sinning less, all right, I will not call you sinless because you won't be sinless until you die, right? And when you die, you'll be sinless, all right? Amen. Because the payment of sin is death, all right? So when you die, you paid up in full, all right? It's done if you're in Christ Jesus. The ideal here is that the church of Jesus Christ in this time needs to get real with the God in heaven. We need to be seeking the kingdom first and His righteousness. We need to be putting our mindset, our heart set on the things of God, not of the things of this world. We need to refocus, amen? We need to take a little bit of time, get our Bible out, and find Jesus. Tighten that thing in. Right? We need to find Jesus in the Word. We need to get a clear view of who He is. We need to get a clear teaching of who Jesus is. And when we get that teaching, when we start the knowledge and the wisdom of those things, then all of a sudden illumination will start happening. And praise God, it starts in different levels for all of us. Amen?
Mm-hmm. right? So don't expect in the first, well, I read the Bible the first time all this year, I must have great understanding. No, you don't. No, you don't. The deeper you dig, you'll just find out there's more to dig. You will never exhaust the knowledge of God. And that is the beginning of your understanding. Remember, he said, I am understanding. That's when I was reading this and studying this week, this idea that God is what understanding really is. And he cannot look on the unholy thing. He can't look on the person that is an unrepented sinner. He can't listen to you. He won't pay any. Your prayers won't go any further than the ceiling. Your study won't go any further than John 3:16. And don't get me wrong, that's a beautiful scripture. How about John 3:19 and 20 and 21? Amen. To me, those are better ones, because this is condemnation, that the light came into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Hey, there's some understanding in that. Yeah, praise God, Jesus. God so loved the world that he sent Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Praise you. Not thank you. Praise you for that. All right, now that the light came into the world, why do I still love darkness more than light? If that's in your life, hey, it's time to get some understanding. It's time to start living a lifestyle that is representative of the Most High God in your personal life. The greatest question is laid out in verse 20. Where does wisdom come from? And where is the place of understanding to truly grasp a hold of this gift of understanding, this positional standing I need to have with God before my illumination can start? You know, I know spiritually I am in Christ Jesus, but I have a problem even in that. You know what it is? Me. And it's me. It's not his work. His work is perfect. His blood is perfect. You know, the problem in that, the middle of sin is I. And I need to deal with it. Jesus paid it all, no doubt. Amen. The full sin nature was laid on him at the cross. He paid for it. He is victorious over it. The problem that the church has is we lean so heavy on what he paid and don't take any responsibility of our side. Jesus paid it all. If you trusted him as your Lord and Savior, you are forgiven. But because you're forgiven, that does not give you a right to sin. Should I sin all the more that grace may abound? Church? God forbid. Amen? God forbid. God forbid that. Stop that stinking thinking. Just because you're saved, that doesn't give you a license to do what you want to do. And if you think it does, then you have no understanding of the depth of God. You have no understanding of the judgment of God. People, we need to be a group that is holy and set apart, sanctified for the high calling of Christ. Oh, to get that spiritual understanding, that grip, that position I need to be in Christ. Yeah, I know for a fact I will never be sinless, but I know this, I can sin less. I can sin less. You know, when Jesus died and said, it is finished, you know what happened there besides the veil in the temple being ripped and all that stuff? Do you know what happened in the heavenly realms? Do you know what happened for anybody who would fully trust in him? Do you understand the depth of what happened there? He gave you the authority to have power over the sin in your life. It's finished. I paid it all. All you have to do is believe it enough to walk in it, to have faith enough to adjust your feet to what the Word of God says, to have faith enough to say, yes, I don't have to do that thing, because Jesus gave me power over that thing. No longer am I shackled by the sins of this world, but I have been set free. Amen. And when Jesus set you free, you are free indeed. So why are we like dogs lapping up our own vomit? Going back to that thing that is so ungodly. People, come on. Come on, we if we're going to be the church in the last days, we got to get right. Because there's so many wishy-washy, spineless, weenie Christians out there, and I'm not doubting their salvation, I'm doubting their walk. Right? It's their walk that's the problem. It's not their belief in Jesus Christ. If you look like the world, why would anybody want... I mean, you already look like the enemy. Church is supposed to be conformed into the image of Christ. When you look at yourself, now I'm not talking about your physical self, but when you look at yourself deep on the inside, is there anything that resembles Christ there? When your hurting neighbor sees you, is there any resemblance of Christ there? When you're loving people, is it just because they loved you first? Even the world does that, Jesus said. Oh, church, I think we got it messed up. I really do. The problem is we really don't understand the judgment of God, right? We really don't grasp what that is. Hello. Proverbs 28 and verse 5 says, "The evil man understandeth not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things." Catch that. Catch what the writer said there. The evil man understandeth not judgment. Well, my God would never do that. My God would never judge me. Well, you're an evil person. That's what the Bible calls you. You know, you're no more evil than I am. Amen. But one thing I do is I fear God because He says He'll judge me. All right? And when I open the Word, when I'm in my prayer life, when I'm in my study, I do that in reverence and in awe of the fear of God. Don't just fear the man who's able to take your life, but fear the one who's able to take your life and cast your soul into hell. To me, that's a real fear. But the evil doesn't understand that kind of judgment. But they that seek the Lord, oh, let me ask you, church, who are you seeking? Think Trump's going to come back and be the savior of America? There's so many stupid prophets out there. Trump's coming back. He's coming back. Don't get me wrong. I like President Trump as a president. I do. I got to make America great hat. I got to make America great flags, man. I really believe that the election was stolen. It was done by ill-gotten gains. But I don't think God was not sovereign in the whole thing. Amen. Amen. As I've heard it said by my brother, we got exactly what we deserved. We were seeking for something outside of what God wanted for us, and He let us have it. Welcome socialism. How do y'all like inflation? This is a result of ungodly church people. Okay? I'm not going to put this on the world. This ain't the world's fault. This is because the bride, the body of Christ, does not fear God, does not seek knowledge, doesn't have an understanding of who He is, where He is positionally, and where we are positionally. Because if we did grasp that, we would turn from our wicked ways. We would seek the face of God. And we would pray. Got a promise from God that He would hear from heaven and He would heal this land. Well, it hasn't happened yet. You know why? Because we haven't happened yet. But I do believe that there's a church. I do believe that there's a church that fears God. I do believe that there's a church that's willing to do what it takes to humbly seek the face of God. I believe it's out there. I believe that part of it's here. As you notice, I said part of it. I don't want to get all y'all with a puffed up head. Or me. Because this ain't about me and it ain't about you. It's all about God. Amen. And when we understand the holiness of God and the wickedness of man, when we start to get a glimpse of that, our lives ought to change. There ought to be a moving from unrighteousness to righteousness. This is page 3 out of 4. It's 10 minutes after 12. Y'all care? All right, praise God. From what can I see? From what I can see, our walk corresponds directly with our understanding of God that God grants. All right? Our walk on this plane, on this earth that we're on, is a direct corresponding understanding of what God wants to grant to you. Does that make sense? Yeah, I wrote it, so that's not scripture, that's just me. My walk, my lifestyle, the things that I see, the things that I watch, the things that I listen to, the words that come out of my mouth, if it is ungodly, my understanding of God will become darkened. I will make a God like unto myself. I will make a God in my own image. But if I walk in the law of God, in the holiness of God, in the reverence of God, my perception of God is going to change. My perception of the goodness of man. Have you ever heard that men are good? No, the world says that, but the Bible says there's none good. No, not one. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How about with all the kids, and I'm changing my vocabulary as we speak, all the kids now are saying, I'm good. Do you want a drink? I'm good. No, you're not. You're not good. You're a rotten, stinking little kid. You're not God. There's nothing right about you. Nothing right about me. You know what we used to say? Thank you and no thank you. You want something to drink? Oh, thank you. Yes, I would. Do you want something? No, thank you. I'm fine. I'm trying to get back to that in my own mind. My teenagers have polluted my mind, my grandchildren. They got me saying, I'm good. And as I was doing a study a couple weeks ago, someone called me, and my brother Dan, he called me and said, oh man, I'm good. And he said, oh man, you're not. I said, oh man, you're right. And so we went through that. It's to understand that, church, you got to understand you're not good. It's God good in you. To come to that illuminating. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 18. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity, the foolishness, the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Okay, that's deep. As you see, I'm getting my baseball stance. I'm digging in right here, getting my shoes on. I testify henceforth that you walk not as other Gentiles walk. All right? Do you know how you used to walk before you loved the Lord, before you understood? Do you understand what he's talking about, your walk there? Go back to Galatians chapter 5 talks about the works of the flesh, all right? We don't have to go there. You can go there on your own time. But you look at that, how many of those things are manifested in your life? When you come to the end of that list, he says, those who do such things. And I got to fix this, because I used to say, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But that's not what the King James says. That's another translation. King James says, those who do such things. So that means I need to stop doing them. Why? Because I want to have an inheritance. That comes from understanding. Are you doing those things? Are you doing those works of the flesh? If you're doing them, you have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. Oh, but I said a prayer when I was 3. And I was told by the pastor, no matter what I did, no matter what I would always be saved. Okay, I wouldn't take that to Vegas and gamble on it. As you might wind up short there. Our walk, our lifestyle should not be as the unsaved. Walk not as the Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their wine, having their understanding darkened. As you walk in the flesh, your understanding of the righteousness, the holiness, the perfection of God gets dimmer and dimmer and dimmer until there's no light left. You understand? Do you see what I... If you walk in the way of the world, if you walk like you used to walk before you knew Jesus Christ, that understanding of the holiness of God gets less and less and less. And you go darker and darker and darker and darker until there's no light left. Folks, that ought to bring you to the fear of God. That ought to bring you to the place that says, yes, I want to be holy. Now, so when we dismantle this and the unsaved walk into the vanity, the moral depravity, that's vanity, moral depravity, resulting in the understanding being darkened. Romans chapter 1, verses 19 and 20 let you know that even from the creation there was an understanding of God. Amen. Verse 19 says, verse 19 of Romans chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. 19, that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God hath shown it to them. The invisible, verse 20, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So even the unregenerated, those who say they know God, but they really don't know God, even the unregenerated have a base understanding of the Godhead just because of creation. God has put a base understanding, and this is just the base, this ain't the depth of the understanding. Birds fly, all right? I understand God because birds fly. Photosynthesis happens. I don't understand why, but I understand God. The woodpecker doesn't smash his head on the thing and his brain squish on the tree. I don't understand why, but I understand God made it that way. I understand that the things that are made were not made of this world. Amen? I don't understand why. I know the Bible teaches me that. That's what I understand. That is a deepening understanding of the power of God. And even the unregenerated should have that. And when one is brought into life, the understanding that is the understanding and the need of salvation. Excuse me, I said life. I meant light. When one is brought into light through the understanding of salvation, the need of salvation, the light of men is turned on, and we begin to comprehend, to understand some things in a much deeper revelation of the reality of this life and the hope of the life to come. Did that make any sense? All right, because that's my words, not God's. God's words always make sense. My words might be twisted up a little bit. So the unregenerated, when they get saved, something changes in the way they understand stuff. All of a sudden, it's not a mistake. You didn't come from an animal. You were created in the light. That all comes from the understanding salvation, God illuminating you and bringing you out of darkness into his light. The understanding that God became man to die on a cross for the worthlessness of man. I could not understand that until God illuminated my mind. I always thought I was worth nothing. Anybody here think you're worth nothing? Guess what you're worth? The blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of God. In your own mind, you might not be worth anything. But in the mind of God, you are worth the blood of his only begotten Son. That means you're worth something greater than anything on this earth. So you don't understand that until you come to know God. When you come to know God, all of a sudden, these dark things start to becoming... right. Do you understand that when you're born a male, you will die a male no matter what the doctors do? Amen? Do you understand that marriage, biblical marriage, is for one man and one woman? Nothing else? I don't care how you feel about that because your feelings are wrong. You understand the sovereignty of God during the COVID-19 thing? Do you know that there was not one human on the face of the earth that died outside of their time? Amen? Right? No mask could save you. There's no needle poke. I will not call that thing a vaccine because it's not a vaccine. There's not a needle poke that will keep you out of it. When you die, I don't care if you're hiding underneath your bed, you're going to die. Period. I don't understand that from science. You know where I understand that from? God's Word.
Amen.
It is appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment. And on the other side of that, when you die, what happens? Judgment. Right? You're either going to enter into paradise and wait for the resurrection, or you're going to go to hell. You're going to go to a place of torment. And then at the resurrection, hell and death is going to be thrown into the lake of fire. So don't think that hell and the lake of the fire are the same place. They're not. And I can show you that in another Bible study. Page 4, and I promise this is only half a page, but there's a lot in this page. Amen. About the understanding. People, we need to be moldable. We need to be able to expand what God is showing to us. See, when God shows you something in Scripture, regardless of what you believe, what believed before, God's Word's always correct. A lot of us were brought up in the once saved, always saved thing. All right. Now, let me get this squared away here. Once converted, always converted. Once confessed, probably not saved. Okay? Because the confession and the conversion are two separate things. Right? Now you start being converted at the point of confession, but then God does something called continual sanctification. And He changes you. Alright? So you get saved. You know how I know when I'm going to be saved? When I see Jesus. Alright, now, you know what's going to make sure that in this life I know that I have a relationship with God? I will be continually bearing fruit.
Amen.
Amen. John 15, if you want to get into that a little bit, you can. That's not where we're going today. We need to have a mindset that what God says is right. It says in Psalm 42 and verse 9, the first part of that, be ye not as a horse or as a mule, which have no understanding. Now, how many of you are mule-headed? Right? I'm so stubborn, I don't care what you show me. I ain't changing my belief system. This is what my grandmama believed, what my mama's mama believed. I've believed this ever since the first time my granddaddy built the church. This is what we believe. If it's wrong, it's wrong. Amen? I don't care what you believed. If it does not line up with Scripture, it's wrong. Pastor, you hurt my feelings. I would rather hurt your feelings and see you repent and get saved than fluff up your pretty little pillow and watch you go to hell. Because those are the two choices. Don't be mule-headed. Don't be like a stubborn horse that doesn't have understanding. 1 Corinthians 14 and 20 says it this way, brethren, be not children be not children, childish in understanding. Howbeit, in malice, be children, but in understanding, be men. All right. Look at what he just said there. I like this because in malice, be children, but in understanding of the scriptural things, grow up. When I was a child, I did childish things. When I became a man, I put away childish things. That's paraphrased there. So anyhow, brother, be not children in understanding. So someone who thinks they're going to understand about God and live a lifestyle that is not honoring to God is childish. Don't be that way. All right? If I know that my walk, my holiness will be depending on how much I understand about God. Oh, thank you, Lord, for this. I didn't even think of it. Praise God. Not that I got this new revelation. It's in the Bible. It's not in the Bible, it's in real life. You have a child that wants to drive your car.
Oh, Daddy, I want to drive.
Oh, you know it, don't you? I see him, he's going, yeah, Dad, give me the keys to the truck, I want to drive the car. Not yet. Okay? You need a little more understanding. I need to see some responsibility in you. Before I get you off of the push lawnmower and get you on the riding zero turn lawnmower, you need to show me some responsibility, some right thinking before I give you the keys to that.
That's a real example, too.
That's, oh, praise God. That's a real example, too. And so in that understanding, that's what God the Father does to us. I want to give you the keys to righteousness, to holiness. But as long as you act like a snot-nosed brat, I'm not going to do it. As long as you choose unrighteousness over righteousness, I'm not going to do that. I have it. It's available for you. You can do it. You can have these things. But the thing that's going to stop you from receiving those things is your personal walk with Christ.
Amen. Amen.
All right? We got to grow a little bit. Because there's understanding out there. There's a deeper understanding. But you know what keeps you from getting that understanding is the pride, the arrogance, the unrighteous lifestyle that you harbor in your heart, worshiping things rather than God. Again, in that same chapter, in a different chapter, 13 and 11, 1 Corinthians says, "When I was a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." There's too many diaper-wearing Christians in the church because we love ourselves more than we love God. We love our thoughts more than we love the Word. We love our feelings more than we love the reality of God. It's time to grow up. We ain't got a lot of time, folks. I really don't know when this abomination of desolation is going to happen, but I think we're pretty close. Yeah, I really do. I think we're pretty close. You know, from what I see on the news and all the things you watch, they got all the implements ready for that thing. And I know from being in construction, we can build a temple in about 48 hours. Really and truly, pouring concrete walls. We can put up Simon forms. We can tilt up concrete. And in 2 days, we can have a roof on it. I built the gym at Aquinas. I know we can do it. Remember, it doesn't have to be like Solomon's temple. It just has to be a place where they can sacrifice. That's it. How fast could that happen? I don't know. But as long as the church is childish, as long as the church loves their sin more than they love the righteousness of God, we'll never get the illumination that we need to have. It's time for the church to wake up. We were in Daniel chapter 12. Amen. Today in Sunday school, and again, chapter 12 and verse 10. "Many shall be purified and made white and tried." You got to be what?
Tried.
That, what does tried mean? Tested, put through the squeezer. You know, you got to be juiced. All right? No. The old me came up with a thought there. Sorry about that. You got to have some things. Are you really a Christian? If I put you to the test, would I find Christ in you? Right? So you got to be tried. "But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand." All right? But the wise shall understand. I want you to be wise. I do. I want you to be wise. I want you to have an understanding. I want you to have the fear of God, the wisdom of God. I want you to have the knowledge of God, culminating in the understanding of the riches of God for you. And the only thing between you and that is air and opportunity. Don't let the air stop you. You have the opportunity today to repent. You have the opportunity today to look at your life in a real biblical manner. And if there be any sinful way in you, clean it up. When you were a kid, didn't your mom tell you, "Clean your room. Clean your room"? That didn't mean shove things under the bed. Amen? It means clean your stinking room. Church, I love you. Clean your room. Right? Clean your room. I got some dust bunnies. Right? I'm not saying I've made it. I've got to clean my room too. Right? We all have something that we could die to, that Christ might live in us more richly. Amen? That's all I got to say about that. Go home. I don't know how to close the sermon. It's just the way
pray for us.
Pray for us, all right. Dear Father, we love you. We praise you, Lord God. I pray that your face would shine upon these people. Lord, that your people would come to know the awesome glory of the Most